you find for me someone strong and sweet fitting on my knee? She can keep her job if she gets it wrong. Ah, but Mr. Marks, I won't need her long. All I need is help for a little while. You can take dictation and learn to smile. And a temporary secretary is what I need for to do the job. I need a I don't need a true romancer. She can be a diplomat, but I don't need a girl like that. She can be a neurosurgeon if she's doing nothing urgent. What I need's a temporary, temporary secretary.
Stay on the right track.
She can be a belly dancer. I don't need a true romancer. She can be a diplomat, but I don't need a girl like that. She can be a neurosurgeon if she's doing nothing urgent. What I need's a temporary, temporary secretary.
Liked his electronics, didn't he? What was going on there?
It sounded like his synthesizer was out of control and he couldn't stop it, so he made a song out of it.
And it worked out pretty well.
That goes to show what a melodic genius he is, because that riff is nothing. It's almost like nails on a chalkboard, and yet he somehow can manufacture a kind of a cute melodic little song out of whole cloth. I don't know how he does it.
Matched to a narrative that could be Lovely Rita some 15 years later.
Right.
And that was on Paul's second solo album, McCartney 2, Temporary Secretary, which over the last few years he has revived in concert.
And I can't believe it. I love that he would do something like it, was because it was kind of obscure at the time. And he's brought it into a set nowadays.
Well, you know, one time we had in 2013, Paul's guitarist, Rusty Anderson. McCartney did a 2-night stand at the Irwin Center. Rusty came up here for an interview. In the car, driving him back to the hotel, I had a chance to pick his brain a little bit. And I was like, so how do you get songs in the set list? And, you know, they had just started playing Junior's Farm and Hi, Hi, Hi. He's got like, took me years to convince him, you know, to take out the records and listen to them. And then he was like, oh, yeah. But I think Temporary Secretary was Paul's idea.
No kidding.
He probably read in Mojo or one of those other English magazines that it was an influential track and brought it to us. But that electronics in that song led nicely from the Stevie Wonder songs that both featured clavinets, which granted are sort of archaic electronic instruments now. But What's That You're Doing, the Paul McCartney Stevie Wonder collaboration on Tug of War, which is not Ebony and Ivory.
And thank goodness.
That's 1982. And that was Paul's third solo album and his first album after John Lennon's death, and a number one album and a number one single for Ebony and Ivory. Go figure. And We Can Work It Out, which Stevie Wonder performed at the White House for Paul McCartney a few years back and was a single, and we had the mono version. Thank you.
Yes.
Whew.
I know, man. This is a happy birthday for all of us.
I am just enjoying it. You know, so few things in my life have brought me so much joy as Paul McCartney. And these days, whatever gives you the blues, we've always got the music to go to. And believe me, I go home and go to it. So to celebrate Paul on his 75th on the Austin Music Experience, KUTX, is a real privilege. And Rick and I are appreciative of it. And we've got a classic solo, well, Wings, Paul song for you in a moment.
Support comes from UT Center for Professional Ed, offering the Data Analytics Certificate Program. Learn more about data analytics at a June 22nd info session or webinars on July 6th and 17th. professionaled.utexas.edu.
Coming up at our next Pews and Brews at the Cactus Cafe this Tuesday at 7, it's Jazz and the Art of Family. I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Join me along with rabbi and jazz historian Neil Blumhoff and a live jazz quintet for a night of great conversation and live music as we explore the legacy and influence of the Brothers Jones. Hank, Thad, and Elvin Jones were each supreme musicians, but they were also brothers and represent an important legacy in the history of jazz. Pews and Brews is free and open to the public. We hope to see you this Tuesday at 7 at the Cactus. Find more details at cactuscafe.org.
Support comes from the Bullock Museum, presenting Blind Lemon's Last Blues on June 30th, a one-man play about the life and spirit of Texas musician Blind Lemon Jefferson. Reception with author and playwright Alan Governor and actor Akin Babatunde following.
KUTX and the Cactus Cafe present our annual Summer Set, Friday, June 23rd at Hogg Auditorium, featuring four great songwriters in the round: John Fulbright, David Ramirez, and Kevin and Dustin Welch. We hope you can join us for this one-of-a-kind event. Get your tickets and more information at cactuscafe.org.
I'm Jody Denberg here with my friend Rick McNulty, who is sporting a very nice Beatles Hard Day's Night shirt, I should add. And we're just playing Paul McCartney of every stripe and flavor this afternoon until 6. And we mentioned earlier, I've been lucky enough to interview Paul 4 times. A couple of the times I could ask him questions about Linda, who I find very fascinating. One was after Linda passed away and before he became public with his relationship with Heather, so he was in a very good mood and was willing to answer some Linda questions. And one was during an EPK we did together, electronic press kit for Band on the Run. Because Linda's so integral to the project, you got to ask some Linda questions. So I want to play a little bit of Paul talking about Linda in a moment, but I don't know, if I say Linda and Band on the Run, what do you think of?
I think of the synthesizer, yes. That crazy Moog sound that she could get. And
and she got it in Jet. And when you'd see her with Wings Over America and that part would come, she would be highlighted.
Yeah.
And the Moog synthesizer is, what do you call it, a mono instrument. You can only play one key at once. So she's doing her thing, and it's part of the song. You can't hear the song without it. So let's hear the song with it, and then we'll talk to Paul about Linda and Band on the Run and hear another song on KETX as we celebrate Paul's 75th. Happy birthday, Paul.
Yeah. the synthesizer parts on Band on the Run, her vocals on Jet, they're such integral parts of the song. They're reproduced to this day by Wicks on stage. She'd really grown as a musician at this point, but she really played instinctually, didn't she?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Linda is she really kind of knew virtually nothing when we started. And it was more of a kind of, almost like a college band that we just said, do we want to go on the road? Yeah, let's do it. And we didn't really think too much about it. We just thought, hey, it's a little bunch of friends going and making some music, which, you know, when we started the Beatles, that's kind of all it was. It was just, hey, we made it up as we went along and we got better together. In Linda's case, she hadn't really played much keyboard. So the early things were very simple. But I'd show her, and she was a quick learner. And I'd give her a vocal part, and she'd take it, maybe massage it a bit, you know, and just... But basically, she'd do my arrangement. But yeah, as we went on, she particularly liked the Moog, you know, that, which is now funny. It's now right back in vogue, you know. But she loved that. Loved the... liked all that funky stuff. We always said she would have been a good punk rocker. She had the kind of, you know, the edge, the sort of... In fact, we ended up round about that period giving ourselves punk rock names. She was Vile Lynn. Vile Lynn. And I was Noxious Fumes. It never came to anything. But, yeah, so as we went on, she learned a lot and eventually became a really good player and, as you say, an integral part of the band. So by the time we were at Band on the Run, she was singing great and very distinctively too. So I remember years later when I worked with Michael Jackson, he said, who sang those harmonies? I said, well, it's me and Linda, basically, and Denny, some of them. I said, oh, they're great. And he loved Linda singing, you know, so she gained more confidence as she went on.
Where did the title come from, Band on the Run?
Band on the Run, I thought of it just for the song. Around about that time, there was a lot of kind of songs like Desperados and Renegades and I think a lot of people were kind of on the run around about those early 70s, you know. A lot of people who'd opted out of society in many ways. So it was in the air. So the idea of a band on the run, I thought, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. It's nice. You know, it could be a band of brothers, so like the Prison Escape, they're not a musical band, they're just a band of convict, you know. So, got the hiccups. So they're just a band of convicts. But yeah, so out of that I thought, yeah, band, musical band, band of brothers, put it together, made Band on the Run.
Mine. I can't tell you how. something I understand. You gave me loving in the palm of my hand.
Birthday, Paul McCartney, Robin Hitchcock paying his propers. You know, Rick, as I said, I've seen a lot of McCartney shows. I don't think I've ever seen one where he didn't play Let Me Roll It.
Yeah, he loves to play that. Well, he loves that riff.
And he likes playing the guitar.
Yeah.
We heard Paul talking about Linda's contributions to Band on the Run and the title of the album and, of course, Jet and Let Me Roll It. Now, when Band on the Run came out, 73, people were reviewing it. You heard a lot of people comparing Let Me Roll It to John Lennon Plastic Ono Band. And even there were rumors that maybe John was on the song.
People wanted to believe that John was singing background vocals on a few of those songs, because I think Denny Lane, sometimes when he sang harmony with Paul, kind of could have that Lennon McCartney magic. Not quite, but you could hear traces of it sometimes.
You talk about magic. One thing Paul's always done is tried his hand at other artistic forms, sometimes successfully, sometimes Give My Regards to Broad Street as a motion picture.
Oh, man, I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Okay, I'm sorry. But as a painter, as a poet, and I remember he put out a book around 2000 called Blackbird Singing, where he had some of his lyrics on the page, obviously without music, standing as poetry, and then some poems that he had written that he had never released as songs. And in 2001, I saw him doing one of the landmine benefits in Los Angeles. Paul Simon was also on the bill. And he decided to do one of the poems and let the band sort of free jazz, you know, accompany it. And it was a poem that he wrote about John Lennon. So I thought, since we were just talking about John and Let Me Roll It, this is truly rare. This has never been released. I just have it because I was there that night and got a recording of it. It's about 90 seconds, and I thought we'd give it a listen.
Hello, how are you? I'm Jerk of All Jerks. I'm here to undo all your charitable works. I do it quite simply by making mistakes. And one little boo-boo is all that it takes. And you're at the mercy of Jerk of All Jerks. I'm the guy with the pistol who kills your best friend. You can't really blame me because I'm round the bend. I'm the man that disposes of nuclear waste. There's no need to worry, it's perfectly safe. In fact, there is now every reason to hope that if anything happens, I'll easily cope. Hello, how are you? I'm Jerk of All Jerks. I'm the soldier who says, as he plants a landmine, that this field in the future is sure to be fine. And what's more, he's told that this innocent egg won't cost you much more than an arm and a leg. Hello, how are you? I'm Jerk of All Jerks.
Move over, honey, traveling on that line. said, move over, honey, I'm traveling on that line. Said, move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. She said she's traveling.
Happy 75th birthday, Paul McCartney. Happy Father's Day, everybody. KUTX, celebrating with, in that set, well, a piece that I recorded in 2001 at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. Paul McCartney was doing a landmine benefit. The poetry book Blackbird Singing had just come out, and in it, he had a poem called Jerk of All Jerks, and he recited it with the band vamping behind him, and that's what we heard. You know, Paul took a lot of grief when someone stuck a microphone in his face right after John Lennon died and asked him what he thought, and he said, it's a drag, and it, and it, you know, I wouldn't want to be in that position. But I think in Jerk of All Jerks, he really said how he felt about the matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a pretty stunning piece.
That was incredible, and you recorded that.
Yeah.
So you bootlegged it.
Shh.
That's fantastic.
Next hour, I've got some demos that I'm going to share. I have a demo of a song that Paul wrote for the Everly Brothers and a demo of a song that Paul wrote for Mary Hopkin, but his demo.
Sweet.
And they're as good as anything he's ever done. And I'm going to share that in the 5 o'clock hour. Jerk of All Jerks, singing about John. We had to play some Lennon McCartney compositions.
Sure.
One After 909.
One of their earliest.
Yeah, and I didn't know that for years and years. I always heard it on Let It Be.
Mm-hmm.
I did, you know, until you find out, oh, this is them kind of going back to their roots. And we found that out when Anthology 1 came out. And then a live version of Get Back at the Bridge School concerts, which Neil and Peggy Young announced separately this week would cease to be.
Oh, because of the divorce?
I think so. Oh. Neil said personal reasons.
Yeah.
But I was at that show with Paul, not with him, but to see him, and he duetted with Tony Bennett that night.
No kidding.
And they did The Very Thought of You, and Neil Young and Paul did Only Love Can Break Your Heart at Paul's request. But the thing about Neil and the Bridge School is he wants it acoustic, so thus that acoustic version of Get Back. And a different sounding Get Back. Let's get back to a couple of more rare things. I was surprised. I asked you the other day because we've been going back and forth on your top five favorite McCartney records. And one of mine is really not a Paul McCartney record per se. It's Build to the Fireman. And the Fireman is a duo. It's Paul McCartney and the producer Youth. And I think the first couple records were more, well, I know they were ambient remix kind of things, but.
And they were instrumental.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
And on this one, they're songs. And it's shortly after Paul splits with Heather, so it's called, maybe that's not why, but it is called Electric Arguments.
Mm.
And so I thought we would play a song from The Fireman.
Excellent. And he plays all the instruments on this. Youth just kind of cobbles it together, I believe. But this is all Paul.
Thank you. blackbird singing in the... Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Oh. Oh. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night. For this moment to arise. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night.
happy birthday, Paul McCartney. 75 years young and still working heavily.
And still healthy. And what a pleasure it is to be doing this while Paul is alive.
I'm not kidding.
Man. It's so much fun to just be going through all the various facets of Paul's music, and we're not going through all the various facets because there's classical and orchestral and so many other things we could do, but time is limited. We started with one of Paul's alter egos, the Fireman, which is Paul working with the producer Youth, and one of the first records from the Fireman, there's three, was called Rushes, as in from Penny Lane and the Fireman Rushes In.
Aha!
Thus the name, I believe. And the third Fireman album actually has somewhat standard song structures and vocals. And from it, we heard Sing the Changes from Electric Arguments. And then you found us that demo of Blackbird. I'd never heard that. Paul's voice sounds so sharp in that. And then there's a breakdown in the middle.
Yeah, he hits a wrong note. And it's that goes out to all you aspiring musicians, that even Paul McCartney can mess up his own songs like that. But yeah, that was cut in 1968 during the White Album. Probably very close to the final version, but I love that he kind of loses it. He laughs at himself and he continues right on.
And finally, we heard Wings, a song that most of us hadn't heard until 2003 when it came out on the soundtrack to The In-Laws. It's called A Love for You. It's a Paul McCartney composition, and it features, well, really two, I don't know how this happened, two versions of Wings together.
Yeah, this is kind of his You Know My Name, Look Up the Number. He has been working on this song for over 10, 15 years. It started during the Ram sessions in 1971, and then it was sitting around as a demo. Then he started work on it again in 1981 with
Lawrence Juber
and Steve Holly from that iteration of Wings. They added some stuff to it, and then Paul overdubbed another guitar on it about 5 or 6 years later, and they finally put it out as is. And I love that version. That was great.
And the stripped down version is on the Ram box, and that polished up version is on the soundtrack to The In-Laws. It's called A Love for You. It's a rarity from Wings. We've got some more rare things to share with you, but let's play another cover. And this is a guy who has been called the Fifth Beatle. And after George Martin, he has the rights to it as much as anyone else, I think. The Beatles first met Billy Preston when they were on the road. And Billy was in what, Ray Charles or Little Richard's band?
I think it was Ray Charles' band. He was probably he was a teenager. And they were impressed with him. And I believe they met in Hamburg.
And the Beatles signed Billy Preston to Apple Records and then were giving him their songs before they even recorded them. So Billy does a version of All Things Must Pass by George Harrison before George released that record. And Billy did a version of this song before Let It Be.
I've got a feeling deep inside. Oh, yeah.
This is 98.9 KUTX Leander, KUTHD2 90.5 Austin, and KUTX.org. Community-supported public radio from UT Austin.
Right through me, ooh, ooh, baby.
big 7-5 today for Paul McCartney. Sir Paul McCartney, father of five on this Father's Day. Title track to Flaming Pie from 1997. You know the origin of that song?
Well, I know that, yeah, the inspiration was John Lennon's, when they asked him, hey, how did you come up with the name Beatles? He came up with that, right? That was his answer.
Yeah, and he wrote it like in a college or
in a newspaper.
Newspaper on the dubious origins of the Beatles. And then, as Paul said, when he put the record out, one of us in the Beatles family thought that John was being sincere and saw this vision. He was not. This was sarcasm. I think it was John's widow who believed that this was a true story, that John had seen
Man
in the Flaming Pie. So it was a little dig at Yoko there from Paul, which is one reason why it's one of the few latter-day Paul studio songs that you would get at one of his concerts that wasn't in the brand new album.
Right.
He would play it for years after. And also, it's a great rocker. Okay, my top five Paul McCartney solo records, Flaming Pie would be in there.
Yeah.
Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, Band on the Run, Ram, McCartney, and then maybe The Fireman. Can you?
I'm with it. I would actually, let me just do songs.
Okay.
Backseat of My Car.
Oh, yeah.
1985. Mm. Junior's Farm. Fine Line. And I can pick any other.
We'll give you a pass on the fifth.
Yeah.
Backseat of My Car. We should try to get to that before we go.
It's so good. I still get chills.
Great song. Very Brian Wilson-esque.
Yes.
Before Flaming Pie, we heard Wings, Arrow Through Me from the final Wings album, Back to the Egg. Should have been a hit.
Oh, yeah. No question.
And Paul from his... Well, John Lennon did his rock and roll album, 1974 or so. And then Paul did his Back in the USSR and covered Duke Ellington's Don't Get Around Much Anymore. Years later, did Run Devil Run, which was sort of revisiting that. And Paul said he spent a lot more time on the production of Run Devil Run, whereas Back in the USSR was like, let's go in and do these live.
Right.
And we started with Billy Preston's cover of I've Got a Feeling. Billy and other Apple artists and Apple friends got first dibs on Beatles songs sometimes before the Beatles ever recorded them, and that is the case there.